Brighton Gay Switchboard wanted to include women as well, which is a good thing, because that was a start.
Yeah.
Before it turned into LGBT. Yes.
Yes.
So I was happy to do that, and it was nice to meet the other guys that also helped on the switchboard line as well. The convener in those days was Edward, and we used to meet once a month in his flat, and he was a very interesting person because he was associated with the theatre, arts, and so we'd sit in his flat and there were pictures of actors. Vanessa Redgrave was one. Well, I remember thinking that he used to go and meet her, I think, for meals, etc.
Okay.
So going back to the 1980s, where you still had to, even in Brighton, still had to be careful about who you let on that you were gay. There was no... you wouldn't go into work and say, hey, I'm gay. You just wouldn't do it just in case. You just didn't know whether or not the prejudice would be such that you could lose your job. So you just kept that part of your life very quiet.
Mm.
But in some respects, and I keep saying this, it was much more fun. You know,
yes.
I mean, we were told when I first started on the switchboard, don't tell anyone where the office is, except, you know, maybe a close friend. Don't advertise it, because, of course, it could be queer bash.
Yeah.
And the guys were very, very wary of this.
Okay.
This was also pre-AIDS at the time then, so the calls we got mainly in 1985, pre-internet, pre-mobile phones,
yes.
There were telephones, switchboard. But when I joined it was only 10 years old, because it started in 1975, so it was in its infancy, Brighton switchboard, but it was one of the, I think it was about the third to start off. London, of course, came first.
Okay.
I don't know if it was second or third Brighton, because of the number of people, gay people, that were living in the town.
Okay. So it was established because there was...
Yes, because there was quite a big
a
gay
need
community.
For it.
Mm. And, of course, with no internet, people would arrive in Brighton and phone up switchboard, which would be advertised. They would advertise it in all the gay magazines. Well, there was the pink paper that you could pick up. Then Gay Times. I think they were the two main sources of communication in order to find out telephone numbers for switchboard, for locations and where to go. And so anybody ringing us up, not only were we there for emotional communication, but to where, you know, where can we go?
Yeah.
Where can we stay?
Yeah.
So it was a much more used line than in this day and age, where it's more emotional now, as opposed to going out to pubs and clubs. Because it was pre-AIDS, a lot of the guys would ring up with VD, venereal disease, as it was called in those days, now called STIs, sexually transmitted infections.
Mm-hmm.
VD used to just sound a bit sort of a bit more gruesome.
Yeah,
you know, think about syphilis, where do I go? You know,
yeah.
Which is always the coordinate. And blackmail. A lot of men would phone up, because in those days, until a few years ago, the age of consent for men was 21.
Yes.
And a lot of men with important jobs, like bank manager, you know, I'm a bank manager, I'm being blackmailed by this young guy that I picked up. Mm. It'd be under the age of 21, and they wouldn't hesitate. There was a lot of it about. To blackmail their older partner. I know that's changed dramatically. I'll tell you one thing, the government has done themselves a favour in lowering the age of consent, because that has wiped out a whole load of nasty crimes.
Oh, you can't even imagine.
I know, it's amazing.
It's horrible,
how, because something like this has changed the social...
Yeah.
Strategy, I suppose, it's what you do, but it's changes something. One fell swoop.